Well, God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 15. There's an old painting I once saw of a bread delivery wagon that was coming down a road with rocks and things in it. And off the back of the wagon, one of the loaves had fallen off and hit the ground. And there was a flock of birds behind it, and they were fighting and scrapping over some of the crumbs that had broken off, all the time ignoring the full loaf that had rolled away to the side of the road. While each crumb is filled with this very same nourishment contained in the loaf, the birds were focused on trying to get one of the crumbs for their very own. Why fight for crumbs when the whole bread of life is served to those who sit at the table? There's an interesting study that I wanted to go over with you today in Matthew 15. So let's turn there, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And it reads, "Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." Tyre and Sidon are along the easternmost coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's a 25-mile stretch that lies between the northern part of Syria and the lower part of Phoenix, or perhaps where we would call Lebanon today. And in this area, he's working. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.'" Canaanites were the descendants of the youngest son of Ham, who was wound up cursing himself because he tried to cut off the Christ line after the flood. A Canaanite woman, she's also called a Syrophoenician in the Gospel of Mark, is pursuing Jesus to help her daughter, who is terribly tormented by an evil spirit, begging for mercy. And it's more in the terms of asking for an alms. Today we see people standing along the side of the highway or on street corners with a sign that says, "Homeless, I appreciate any money you can give me." That's not really the type of situation these people in the biblical culture were involved in. Their alms were basically asking people, like the man who was laid daily at the gate of the temple, at the Gate Beautiful. And it says that he asked alms of the people as they were going in. The word ask is demand, but we have to understand how this word demand is meant. On our money, it used to say, "Pay to the bearer on demand." Meaning that the paper money that we had, whatever value of that money, was already in the bank. And when you went to pay, get paid as the bearer on demand, it wasn't like, "Hey, give me my damn money." No, that's not it. It's pay on demand, meaning there's the resources there. It's not like you'll have to come back next week and we'll give you the four quarters for your dollar. We only have three today. It was payable as soon as you went in there. Now, there was courtesy and everything involved, or you wouldn't have been long at that bank. They would have escorted you out. It's similar in a similar way in saying, "Please pray for me. Ask God, beseech on my behalf, that he heals me or that he takes care of my need, that he delivers me." That's more along the lines. And that's exactly what this woman was saying. "My child has a need. My daughter has this great need. I beseech you, if you will show mercy on her, ask God to present his mercy to her and heal my daughter, free her from this devil." So that's kind of along the lines. Her situation exceeds the scope of nature. It surpasses scientific development and discovery and reaches beyond the helping hands of human kindness. So where do you go? Well, in another record, it calls this devil an unclean spirit. Unclean means to embrace every form of impurity. It's spirit caused. I want you to get that. It's spirit caused. And it caused her to do unspeakable things. If you ever take the opportunity to study the background of the Canaanite religions, you will understand how she got that way and how this unclean spirit was able to infiltrate her life. But in verse 23, but Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, she cries after us. Well, it's sort of an embarrassing situation. You have this woman who's of a Canaanite background. Her daughter, she's beseeching him to free her of the spirit. And it's kind of a terrible kind of situation. And the disciples are getting shook because there's other people that are watching. They know the background of that situation. They know all these different things. And good gosh, here she's coming along bugging us and all of this. But he answered her not a word, meaning there was no promise for her. Why? Because she was a Canaanite. She was of a Gentile background. Romans 15:8 tells us, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, or minister to Israel, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He hadn't really come for her. His ministry while he was alive was for Israel. He was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As a matter of fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, why don't you put a ribbon here, because we'll probably be going back and forth this morning. So if you'll put a ribbon in this section of Matthew, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And it says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, by the Judeans, by the children of Israel, that at that time you were what? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He really had nothing to give to her. At that time, they were without God in the world. They didn't have any hope. She had no right to even speak to him, not by religion and certainly not by culture. You might consider her state as hopeless. She had no hope. You were without hope, remember? No hope. Begging them to have Jesus intercede on her behalf. She was asking each and every one of the disciples, please talk to him. Please ask him to pray for my daughter. Please ask him to help my daughter. When he goes to the temple, beseech God. When you go to the temple, beseech God on my daughter's behalf. Maybe he will have mercy on her. That kind of thing. But here she is, this wonderful woman. She's walking in the steps of Abraham, the father of all them that believe. Isn't that beautiful? Romans 4:18. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And let's just read this verse together. You see, you never can fall too far that the arms of God cannot reach you. The wonderful, loving arms of God. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. The word against means beyond and contrary to human expectation. Against hope, beyond and contrary to human expectation, believed in the hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And so that's exactly what his seed is. And here she is presenting herself. And she's talking to Jesus, thou son of David, beseeching him. Well, let's go back to Matthew. Against hope, believed in hope. Beyond and contrary to human expectation, she was persuaded to go on this venture to find Jesus Christ, to find healing for her daughter, to find wholeness, to find deliverance for her daughter. And what tenacity, because she continues requesting. She just continues after him. But if you want God's deliverance and you want God's healing in your life, then go and get it. Go and ask. Go and seek. Go and knock. Nature didn't hold the answer for her. Today, we sort of prefer to explore nature or seek medical or psychological assistance, both prescribed by someone that's been to school for it or self-prescribed. I notice a lot of the commercials are exhorting us to go and tell our doctor what medication we want. Yeah. Please prescribe this. Until we all finally get to the place, including the doctors and the nurses, it's out of our hands. We can't do anything. And then we want to go to God. We should have started our venture and started our seeking at God Almighty, our physician. When the helping hands of our Lord and the comfort of the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, he's always been there for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first and let the rest follow. Well, I don't have an argument with the medical field. I don't try to dissuade people from seeking medical attention or psychological attention or any of these other things, exploring nature, natural cures, and all of these things. But none of them are greater than God Almighty, and that should be the first stop. Well, let's go back to Matthew 15. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here, he's not talking about a half a dozen strays. The flock has been decimated with unbelief and social relevance. You need to understand, there has not really been a teaching prophet since Malachi, the last book of what we consider the last book of the Old Testament. There's a 400-year period between Malachi and John the Baptist. There has not really been a teaching priest, a minister who's been gathering the people together and calling the flock back together and ministering and healing the flock and feeding the flock and nurturing the flock and taking care of God's little flock, God's precious people, not since Malachi. And for 400 years, they've been in darkness, floundering in the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. because there's no real minister to gather Israel and feed the flock of God. Verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That's what they considered the Gentiles. That's what they considered them that worshiped in the Canaanite religions, as well as other lands. But look at the tenacity of this woman. Look at the heart on this woman. She could have just said, well, I'm insulted, and turn around and walk off. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. She knew. And she wanted. But she was born in the wrong place, trained in the wrong things. She wanted it. And there were whole societies that didn't want her to have it. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Boy, oh boy, what a woman. Here you have Israel, who was entitled to the whole loaf. And all they could muster was to scrap over some crumbs, different things, whether there's a resurrection or there's not a resurrection. All these different things of their doctrines. And fight over all those things. When they had the whole loaf and they could sit at the master's table, they'd rather fight over the crumbs on the ground. But she said, just give me one of those crumbs. What you would normally just sweep up, that which falls under the table that you've already stepped on accidentally while you were sitting there, that which just kind of fell off, just give me one of those. Just one of those. She only asks a crumb of what fell off the table. Has the cynicism of the world robbed you? She asked for a crumb of what Israel would throw away. She came from a foreign land all the way to beg a crumb. What will we do with the loaf that is preserved for us? We have a seat at the master's table. We don't have to search for crumbs. We've got the entire loaf. We should rejoice in it. You know, it's an old adage, and I think of how sometimes our ministers handle the word of God. There's an old adage where they say, if you give a man a fish, he's fed for the day. But if you teach him the fish, he's fed for life. But I've seen people that grow weak and starve to death while they're trying to learn the lesson. We have such an abundance of word, we ought to share it freely. We ought to share it in great abundance and make it available and invite people to the table and let them eat to the full and let them see the beauty of God, the glory of His Christ, the love that we have and the love that we share. Well, we ought to let the love of Christ be shed abroad in our hearts. Just a crumb. All I want is a crumb. You know, when I think of that, I think of the mustard seed. The greatness of it is in the potential that it has for growth. Robert Schuller used to say, a man can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. The potential for growth is always there for every individual, and we have so much of the bread of life to share with people. We don't need to just feed them crumbs. We can cut them off a whole slice. We can invite them to the table and let them join in the feast with us. Well, Jesus never treated this woman, nor even her daughter, as a willful sinner. And until we come to the truth that God is light and that God is love, we will never realize this. We will never realize that there is an evil spirit realm that works against people, that hates mankind, and tries to chain mankind and put him into bondage and torture mankind. And until you come to the truth of the word and you see the beauty of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us and what Jesus Christ truly saved us from. You know, we have that expression, there for the grace of God go you and I. Any one of us really could wind up in a similar condition, or could have, or maybe you were delivered from a similar condition. Never let that compassion fail from the depths of your heart to invite someone. We're not going to run out of the loaf. He never treated her as if she was unclean or undeserving. He just didn't have a word for her. But his treatment of her was very kind and very loving. Because Jesus understood the torment of the evil ones, the hurt, the shame, the confusion that people go through with feelings. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Let the love of Christ be shed abroad in your heart. Understand and have compassion upon the hurt, the shame, the confusion that people are forced to endure. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Keep your ribbon here in Matthew. But Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. It says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is not a situation in life, in this world, that God cannot reach you through Jesus Christ and his children, or God's children. See, he is able to save to the uttermost. You're never too far gone, too far down in the hole. I can't get out. You can get out. And he will lift you out. And he will set you upon your high places in Christ Jesus. Down and out is not the position for God's children. We came from there, and we have no intention to go back. But we're not afraid to lift others up and out and set them on their high places in Christ Jesus. We do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Let's go back to Matthew and we'll finish up this record. Just for a crumb. Well, verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that wonderful, beautiful? The daughter wasn't even there. With just a crumb, how powerful is the word of God? How wonderful is the word of God. How powerful and precious is that word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe it, and be it unto you as thou wilt. May I invite you to his table and partake of the whole loaf of the bread of life. Bless your hearts.